we're going to finish everything off. I've got, in a sense, two lessons tonight, but I'll kind of go fast with through it all, okay? So we're talking about, Lord, teach us to pray, as the Lord taught his disciples to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. So we've been talking about this. We've talked about the simple acrostic for the word prayer, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, yield. Years ago, I told you before that Steve, he would utilize this as a kind of a prayer time, do a little bit of a 10-minute challenge and a prayer time after that. And Steve got used to doing that as a pre-service and just would invite people to be able to come to something like this, to be able to have a opportunity to pray and try to teach a little bit of lessons on prayer. And so it's really easy to remember the word pray. And so praise, repent, ask, yield. We talked about praising and really looked in Acts 16 and talked about what it does to you. For the believer, it actually affects our focus, it affects our feelings, and it affects our fruitfulness. And those are the things we kind of talked about that. We kind of gave a little bit of an illustration of that with even Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas are in prison. And at midnight, when you would think you'd want to be sleeping, you're not, because you're beaten for the sake of the gospel. And you would think they would be complaining, but instead they began praying and praising God. And then just the things that God did. I mean, talk about affecting your own feelings. Here they are rejoicing, and when you maybe would naturally complain. And so as you put your focus on the Lord, it's amazing the feelings that follow. I always try to encourage people, especially in the salvation, the nature of the gospel and salvation, is you don't ever want to put your you don't want to base your faith on feelings. And you may have even seen like the train illustration or whatever too, because if you got your faith and you got feelings and then you got the facts of the gospel, you know, after that, the truth is if you're not feeling great that day, it's almost like there's a disconnect and all of a sudden you lose your faith, you know, with that. And so the nature is, I mean, you have facts initially first. So because of the facts, we place our faith in the truth and what Scripture says. And feelings can come and go, but that we don't lose our faith. But when you have a person who reverses that and flips it over and you have the truths of the gospel, but they're all about feelings, the truth is feelings can come and go, but ultimately when you have your focus on the Lord, it's amazing how so often God changes the way you even feel. I would say number three, simply two, is fruitfulness. We talked about that. And your even effectiveness as someone who seeks to put the Lord as their focus. Psalm 40 talks about the new song in your mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. And so the nature of when a person is truly rescued by the Lord. We even talked about Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6, dealing with the sense of future. Let all the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And then we talked about how do you praise God in just a simple way. We talked about it being sacrificial. Praise is sacrificial. It is continual. It is audible. It's even intelligent. You're using your brain, thinking of who he is, giving thanks with your own lips to his name, who he is. So in that, I kind of challenge you to praise him through Psalm 23 and work your way through. The Lord is my shepherd. He shepherds me. He's personal to me. He is my current shepherd. It's not that he was my shepherd. No, he is my shepherd. And what does he do? He leads me. He guides me. He supplies for me. He fulfills my heart and expectations. It's amazing what he does. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil because he's with me. And his rod, his staff, they comfort me. So in all of that, it's a good reminder to actually even use Scripture to praise him. And I think of so many of the Psalms are that way, and it encourages this way. Then we dealt with the idea of repentance and even kind of dovetailing with a message the prior evening. But repent, the idea is confessing to God what you are and what you've done. It's being specific. It's the idea is, number one, forgive as often as you want to be forgiven. We talked about Matthew 6, verse 12. Even the idea of 1 John 1, 9, confess your sins specifically to God. Name them to God. As God deals with you specifically, then you specifically call them out to him. God, here I'm agreeing with you against myself. And in the midst of that, you clear your conscience. God deals with you, you humble yourself, and you seek to remove any barriers. The conscience is the warning system of the soul. Remember that? It's like, wah, 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 wah. And so as it's going off within your heart and your mind, according to the scriptures, what should you do? Clear it, as the Apostle Paul taught in Acts 24, verse 16, and also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. So in other words, then I didn't say this as we kind of finished off there, but I have that little bullet there. This is really helpful. Notice this little reminder. It's like the idea of your confession is as only as broad as your transgression. Okay? So therefore, again, who do you confess your sins to? You confess them to who you sin against. If you sin publicly, then guess what you need to do? You need to publicly get right in that sense. If it's privately, if it's, you know, somebody, you know, that you've said something to your spouse, well, you need to go to them and do that. But if my kids are involved watching me sin against my spouse, guess what I need to do? I ask my spouse to forgive me, but then I say to my kids, actually, the way I was speaking to mom was wrong. And I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked mom to forgive me. And I want to ask you to forgive me. You guys saw me and you heard me do this. And so would you forgive me? As I think through that, you know, if it's a sin within the mind, it's probably not a smart idea to say, you know, to somebody, hey, just so you know, I've been thinking all kinds of bad thoughts about you, you know, in my mind. And I just wanted to ask you to forgive me for, you know, thinking about murdering you yesterday, you know, when you're walking out to your car. You know, that's not helpful, you know. And you could have thoughts in your mind, but you don't have to reveal all those things. But obviously God knows. And actually, sometimes even with the thoughts in your mind, the reality is it can affect your attitude towards the person. Obviously, if you're having a bad attitude towards a person because of wrong thoughts, actually you might need to go to the person saying, you may have noticed this, but God is working in my life and my attitude towards you has been wrong. And God is working on me in this area, and I've asked Him to forgive me. And if you've noticed this too, I'd like you to ask you to forgive me. I think it takes a humble person to actually offer that to somebody. Will you please forgive me? Now, again, the person may say, no way, I will never. But you're not responsible for that. And how often should we forgive? I mean, 70 times 7, you know? If you want to be literal, that's a lot. And if you want to think this God speaking in generalities in the sense that you just, that for unlimited, then do it. You know, the truth is we seek to get forgiveness. Now tonight, as we look at this, we're talking about asking tonight. And so let me pray and just a couple thoughts and then we'll have some prayer time. Father, we love you. We really do. And we want to love you more. God, we know that our own love for you is so insufficient and so deficient that we would ask, would you please work in us tonight? You are worthy to be praised. And so often, Lord, we are so self-focused. So often, God, we don't even see our own sin. And Lord, we do want to repent. We do want to get things right. We do want to ask and talk to you. You tell us to. So God, we want to obey Scripture. Lord, we want to follow you. We also would ask, Lord, that you would stir our hearts when it comes to even yielding to you, giving ourselves completely to you. Thank you, God, for all that you're going to do in our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this closely, a couple things about asking. It's the idea of desire. When a person has a desire for something, God actually tells you to ask. That's not wrong. I mean, I think this is one that we're really good at. I mean, even unbelievers can ask, you know, because they want something, they wish for things. But I would also say, too, it's not wrong to think, you know, that I guess I shouldn't be asking, okay? No, actually, Scripture does teach this. Now, in Matthew 7, verse 7, and if you want to turn there, you can, but Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, I'll read this to you. It says this, ask, Jesus says, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and again, a lost person wants to give good gifts to their own kids. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He's simply saying, it's okay. You can ask. And the truth is, as we begin to think through this, there's so many scriptures that deal with this. And the first thing, number one, as we're looking at this, we have this probably the last little spot on the bottom, then we'll turn our page over. But number one, as you pray, actually pray with desire. As you think about that, we're asking because we have desires. And that's not a wrong thing. Now we have to actually go back and see what are our motivations and what are our desires here. But as we really do this, it simply is a sign of life. I mean, if you're alive, this is a sign of not just physical life, but spiritual life. As God places desires within your heart. Actually, he tells you that as you delight yourself in the Lord, guess what he'll do? He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you place him first and you put him first and he begins to give desires within your own soul, the truth is God begins to lead and guide you. It's amazing how he does that. But we should pray with desire. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of God's love for you, the Father's love. As you think about this, John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8 says this, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." You consider this, the truth is God's love for you. He wants you to ask. He wants you to come to him and give him and lay those burdens upon him. That's an amazing thing. I can't believe that he's willing to do that. I don't know how he can do it. I mean, because when you think about how many people there are, think about how many burdens there are. And yet God is all powerful and can do that. And he wants you to. I would say the third thing, letter C there, is simply this, or I guess not a C for you, but it's this. It's the proof of God's leadership in your life. I mean, this is the way, again, that God stirs our hearts and begins to lead us. He shifts desires. I told you before, even last night, I would have never have thought one day I'm going to be in the ministry growing up, and no one else who knew me thought that either, you know? But what's interesting is I begin to delight in the Lord and walk with the Lord and just have a personal time. I'm watching God shift desires from, you know, maybe I'm going to the medical field initially, I'm thinking, or, you know, sports medicine or something, to, man, all these people are dying and going to hell. Who's going to tell them? And I couldn't get that out of my head or my heart. And it's interesting as I just begin to just personal soul win, how the Lord began to use that in my own life to stir me into a like a preaching style of ministry. Because I'm like, you know, I mean, I don't know, Steve Pettis says, do you feel like the Lord wants you to be an evangelist or something? And I said, I don't know. I know God wants me to be a preacher initially. I was telling him this when I first started traveling. So I know God wants me to be a preacher, and I'm not sure why he wants me to be that. You know what I mean? Because he can use better people and stuff too. But the desire to share the gospel personally with people, I want to do that. I really desire that. And so God, you watch God begin to lead in your own life. And then number two, pray in faith. It's not just praying with desire, but pray then in faith. And when you think about this, how's your faith? How does it grow? And one way it grows is by learning who God is. And I want to encourage you because the truth is I have a little list of some things here. The promises of God, think about these things. God has certain promises that he gives. I love one of the greatest promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's ever present with us no matter what we go through. Even when you tank in your sin, he's there. And he knows how to deal with us too, doesn't he? But the truth is it's out of love. He loves us. And as you begin to think of God's promises, I think of 1 John 1:9. How often do you quote that one in prayer? I do that a lot. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the reality is we think of the very promises of God. He that began the good work in me will literally bring it to completion. That's a great promise. As I think through that, I mean, the Lord promises to meet in our needs. As you begin to think about the promises of God, think about the names of God. Have you ever done a study on the names of God? I mean, you know the Jehovah series, maybe you could think about that. And I told you before, I kind of held up a little book and just said, right now we're doing this. I've read through multiple different kinds of books that deal with the names of God, and so helpful. Jehovah Jireh, remember what that one is? It's the Lord, what? Provides. Wow. Can I tell you, in the last year, we have watched God do some amazing things, that things that we've been praying for a long time, and then watch it finally be answered in His timing, in His way. And you know, when you see this, it's a constant reminder that God, You provide in Your timing. If I don't have it right now, guess what? I don't need it. And so to be able to rest in Him and who He is, God's names, the names of God actually throughout Scripture are a constant reminder to us that when they experience God in a new light, they would then say that name of God. I think about, again, they saw God provide for them, and you know, here's the lamb provider, here's the sacrifice provided, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. There's so many of the names of God that we can go through and look through that, but that would be a great study in how to better pray, even who God is and what He's done. Or even this, in faith, how has your faith grown? When you look back and you see God has worked, you could say this, past workings. What has He done in the past? I mean, when I think through this, it's like, I don't know if you realize this, but every week I don't know what I'm paid until the week's done. And in one sense, I mean, there's a ministry and operating expenses and stuff too. And I pay team members. And if there's team members that need health insurance, we even cover that and stuff too. Like, you know, so the expenses are going to be, and then so there are times when you're like, and all of a sudden I get a love offering. And, you know, I'm like, you know. And then the next week I get a different love offering. I'm like, whoa. I mean, the Lord knows, and you can go through seasons of this, but I laugh because I'm like, okay, we have seen God work all these years. I think of 1 year, looking back on it, and I'll be honest with you, 1 year, years ago, I believe it was even with a team, it would have been with a team because we had a team, but my wife, we lived off of $11,000. It's like 11,000 something. It's crazy. You're like, what? How? And again, that was years ago, probably near the first couple of years of maybe traveling. It's interesting to watch how God provides. And I look at it, and I'm like, I laugh even now. I'm like, I could be the youth pastor at my home church and probably maybe double my salary almost in a sense. But I'm also going, man, I have all my needs met. God provides and supplies, and He's called me to this. So let's do what God's called you to do. It's not about money, but the truth is you look back and this can be a good reminder and prayer for you and your own faith. Hey, God, You've always been faithful. So the truth is, you know, so then you kind of get used to, you actually don't think much about it. Honestly, you kind of go, well, you know, he provides. And if He's not, maybe He's going to shift us in a different ministry. I mean, He'll do what He wants to do. So I look at that, God's past workings, God's power. I think about this is to really pray in faith. God, we want to see Your power. We want to see You evidently do something that's evidently You and not us. That's awesome. And so then number three simply would be pray with patience. When I think about that, I think about James 1, as Scripture tells us that, and I'll just kind of show us that, and then we'll pray here. But James chapter 1, as we think through James, he talks about trials. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He's talking about maturity. If you lack wisdom, what do? You ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him, but let him ask in faith. So you're even seeing this played out there in the nature of how we ask, and we're patient in this, knowing that God's in control and God will do it in His timing. But trust Him. And then as you think about yield to God in the end, as we're talking about, you can bring in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the nature of your living sacrifice. So present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. The truth is when I talked about the other on Sunday afternoon, we actually talked about what it meant to be filled with the Spirit. There's an element of just yielding to the Lord consistently. In the nature of prayer, we should do the same thing. So number one, yield to God when you don't know what to do. How often does that happen? God, I don't know what to do. So God, I look to You. You do. And then yield to God when you know what to do, but you struggle doing it. Okay, God, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but I struggle with this. But God, I rest in You and I trust in You. If you would, maybe someone sitting beside you, something like that too, I think we could do this real easy. Just in a quiet time with the Lord, maybe real, it's going to be shorter prayers, but maybe just ask the Lord to stir our hearts now. Would you do that? Maybe just find some real quick and a couple minutes there. I know it's getting close to 7, and so we'll switch over.